Welcome to episode 152 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. In the first week in August 2008, I went to a small rural town in the Iwate Prefecture called Joboji on an assignment for a client. The assignment was to take photos for a limited edition book that my client is creating for their client, and today I'm going to share some of the shots and my experiences from the shoot. I was to photograph a gentleman called Shinzo Omori, who has worked gathering this sap from urushi trees, which is the lacquer that you might have seen used on Japanese ornamental lacquerware. It is often red or black and sometimes has delicate pictures embedded in the lacquer surface, which is called makie. And Omori-san, the craftsman, is a bit of a living legend here in Japan. A week after I came back from the shoot, I actually saw a documentary program on the TV in which he was interviewed by someone. They were tracing the roots of a famous photo, and that was of another one of these lacquer gathering craftsmen. And it turns out that the photo is of Omori-san's older brother, who sadly passed away a few years ago. He told me while I was photographing him that he'd left the army at the age of 13 years old, and when he came back to his native town of Joboji, he had become an apprentice lacquer craftsman. I found from the documentary, though, that he was an apprentice to his older brother, who he still says was a better craftsman than himself. Kind of to illustrate the story, let's take a look at the first picture for today, which is image number 1874. You'll probably be amazed to see Omori-san there with his leg wrapped around the tree, basically trying to stop himself from falling. The amazing part is, you know, when you consider that he's been doing this job for 53 years, and then when you think that he's been doing it since he was 13, we can calculate that this guy is 76 years old. And I just hope that I'm even half as agile as this when I'm 76, if I'm still alive, that is. The first photo was shot on the first morning. I'd met Omori-san at 6 a.m. and drove out to a patch in the edges of town. It's a small town, but sort of on the edges of the town there was a small patch, like a small woods, and in there was mainly these urushi trees. There were some other visitors that were going to be there on this day too, and I wanted to make sure that I got my shots. I had a list of the types of shots that the client wants for the book, and I had 2 days to capture them. The other instruction was to just shoot as much as I can, and the client would then possibly change the composition of the book depending on my results. One of the shots was to include the craftsman cutting slits into the bark to let the sap flow. We can see one of these shots in image number 1875. I'm not going to show you all of the required shots, and I haven't uploaded all of them into my online gallery either, but I thought it would be good to share a few, and also just to take a look at this one to help explain what this sap gathering is all about. Apparently the urushi, or the lacquer trees, can be cut from late June to October. The craftsman has to decide, based on years of experience, which one to cut, in which year. And the trees are about 15 years old when they first, when they decide to cut them. They're usually around 15 years old. This photo shows the lowest cut, which starts from one small cut in the middle and then grows out from that point with each subsequent cut. The sap comes out more easily near the bottom, apparently. So, they radiate out like this with double cuts at just on the bottom one only. The higher cuts are usually just one that we'll see later. The first cut is made to the tree, basically. And what that does is it makes the tree think that it's been hurt, and it starts to then collect the sap or draw the sap to that point to try to fix the cut. The second cut will draw the sap more freely because the tree has put the sap there from the first cut. And it takes 4 or 5 days for the sap to gather, so the craftsman has to come back to the same patch of trees every 4 to 5 days throughout the season. And it also depends on the weather, and they basically have to figure all this in, and like I say, based on their experience, and plan which patch of trees they're going to cut through the week throughout the season. The cuts get larger and larger as the sap flows and as the season sort of progresses. They'll usually apparently cut the trees up to 20 times, and that would be 40 times for this bottom one where we can see the double ones. On this first morning, it turned out that I had just 2 hours alone with Omori-san, and then there was like hordes of other visitors that came. At that time, I decided to step back, and I'd already got a lot of photos and probably had already captured everything that was necessary except for some texture shots of the trees with the slits cut in them to let the sap flow. The sap comes out quite quickly and is scooped into a special bucket, and then we saw that bucket in the first shot, but then after a short while, the tree starts to dry. It really oxidizes pretty quickly, turning black. And looking, once it goes black, it looks a little bit more like the lacquer that we see on the ornamental boxes. We can see a number of the higher scratch marks in shot number 1877. I took the opportunity while the other visitors were here to scout around for interesting shots of the bark, and found this one place where three trees could be aligned to perfectly fill the frame, with one in the foreground, and then, that's one with one set of scratches there on the right, another to the left with two sets of the scratches, and then the third tree in the background that could be seen through the middle of the first two. On this tree, you can make out the double cuts at the bottom there, and the most of the three more sets of cuts above. I keep wanting to say these scratches, not cuts, because the Japanese for this type of craftsman is urushi kaki, and that basically means to scratch the tree. Like I said, urushi is lacquer. Kaki means to scratch, and you'd also probably stick shokunin on the end there, meaning the craftsman or an artisan. So this guy is actually translates as a lacquer tree scratching craftsman. I shot this last shot with my macro lens, by the way, and I actually stopped down to f/16, a pretty small aperture for me, to get the tree in the background into enough focus for us to be able to make out that there are these sets of scratches on there. I wasn't worried about getting it any more in focus than this, as it would have reduced the perception, the perceived depth of the image, the difference in the sharpness portrays. As I shot this, there must have been maybe 20 students, university lecturers, and newspaper reporters covering the visits of the other groups crowding around Omori-san. And I felt kind of sorry for him. I think this is what happens is, once he agrees to have visitors, because apparently he was during this season he's very busy, obviously, and he doesn't agree to it very often. But when the people from the local government that are tied in quite closely with this craft, when they actually get him to agree to a visit, they then just tag on as much as they can. And I definitely got the feeling that he didn't realize that half of these people were going to even be here on this day. I tagged on actually to another place after this when he'd done this, only a small patch of trees. He'd apparently taken us there on this day because it was a good place to photograph in. But I tagged along to another place where the other visitors were going to go, and they were going to actually try their hands at scratching the trees themselves. But there was no more photography to be taken on this day. It wasn't my job to cover anything else that was happening. So I went back to the lodgings shortly before lunchtime and started to look through the photos and found that I'd pretty much gotten everything that I had to get on this for the assignment. But I wanted to improve on them. So I was very glad at this point that I'd arranged to meet Omori-san again at 6 a.m. the following morning. On the following day, which was August the 7th, 2008, I went to Omori-san's house and we met in his doorway. I sort of had to go through and shout in, and there he was with his wife, and we had a quick chat, and then we went off. And on this day, he had an apprentice with him. The apprentice name is Seko-san, and he was he actually drove the little white truck that they use to get around to the places with all of their tools and things in the back. Seko-san drove that over to the first patch of urushi trees, and Omori-san rode with me. And he was impressed by the fact that my relatively big SRV didn't make any noise as we drove off. It's basically because it's a hybrid car. It's got electric motors in there as well as the gasoline engine. And so I showed him the information panel that you can get up on the navigation, the car navigation TV screen there. Basically shows where the energy is being pumped around as when you put your foot down, it shows you the energy going from the motors and the engine to the wheels. And then when you start to brake or you're just coasting along, the energy goes back to the batteries, ready to drive the motors the next time. So he was looking at that and was pretty interested to see that. I was happy to be just sort of sitting and driving with him, and was happy that today I was going to be the only visitor. I had talked with Omori-san for most of the 2 hours or so that I'd shot him on the previous day, and he'd told me a lot about his craft and about himself. And we continued to chat as I started to shoot him on the second day, and basically made each other laugh and exchanging local dialect words that we both knew. I speak a standard Japanese most of the time, but my wife comes from a place in Japan called Fukushima, which is basically the middle of the northeastern part of Japan, which is it's about halfway between Tokyo and Iwate Prefecture, where we are today for the assignment. And because I lived there and another place called Sendai for a total of 6 years, I've been talking this local dialect, and also after that, obviously, with my wife sort of going to England for me for a little while and then coming back to Japan in 2000. I've been speaking that local dialect pretty much for 16 years. And actually, no, it'll be 17 years. I know a lot of the local dialect words, and then some of them are similar to the dialect that Omori-san speaks, and some of them are very different. But with slight connections that you can figure out, and the Japanese, as well as me, really just sort of love comparing these words and things. And so we had a lot to talk about, and that really helped to keep us connected. I didn't really want to just stand there and just be silent while I was moving around and taking his photos. So all of these things helped to keep conversation going and build a rapport. And it was just a lot of fun, so starting out from that, that drive over here where we spoke about the hybrid car and things, we just really continued to just natter away for most of the day. After visiting one of the places, the first place was it where they had about 50 trees. We went to another location with some 120 trees, or probably 120 or so. The first location was actually not as good as the one that I'd shot him at the previous day, but the second location on this second day was simply idyllic. It was basically a large expanse of land on the side of a small mountain, and having carried a large wooden ladder for Omori-san up to the furthest point in the woods, in addition to my camera equipment, we set the ladder down and he continued his work, scratching the trees and collecting the sap. In image number 1882, we can see him at work and also now tell that the surroundings were good. Although the 24-70mm f2.8L lens that I bought recently, especially for this assignment, had been invaluable in helping me get the required images, I was now able to step back with the 70-200mm f2.8L lens and get a little bit experimental. I was starting to get more artistic now, placing leaves between me and Omori-san, and to create some nice foreground bokeh there, was just sort of playing a little bit. Although I've shot this pretty light, I've exposed pretty light with an aperture of f3.2 and a shutter speed of 1/125th of a second, I actually had to increase the ISO to 400 to get the right exposure. For those of you that have shot in wooded areas, you'll know that tree canopies can actually create quite a lot of shadow, which brings its own challenges for us photographers. The reason that I changed my 24-105mm f4 lens for the 24-72.8 lens was really because I needed that extra stop of light for focusing in the shade here. And I also wanted to be able to open up more than f4 for some of the shots. The lack of image stabilization, of course, is a big demerit, but I was able to keep the shutter speeds fast enough to prevent camera shake. As some of the stores in Tokyo are actually out of stock of the 24-70mm f2.8L lens at the moment, I'm guessing that Canon is about to announce an IS version of this lens, and needless to say, I'll be kicking myself if they do. I will probably end up going back to the store that I just bought my non-IS version for and see what they'll give me for this still pristine, hardly used lens in exchange for a new IS version if this happens. If I wait very long after that does happen, if it happens, the second-hand market will be flooded with the non-IS versions, of course, and I'll get less for mine. So striking while the iron is hot is definitely going to be the order of the day, I think. That's what I'm going to tell myself anyway. The truth is, I simply didn't want to do this assignment without the extra stop of light for focusing, and I guess I'm prepared to take a hit if that's necessary. I'd actually mentioned in the forum for a while that I was going to hold off as long as I could, but just couldn't really hold off past this point. Anyway, the next image is number 1883, and here we can see a relatively nice moment as Omori-san cuts the bark away from around the previous scratches to make it easier to make his next cut. We can see here that the greenery in the background is blown out in some areas, and I've actually brought these down. Even as you look at this, I've even brought these down a little bit in Lightroom, as I was forced to allow them to blow out to ensure good exposure for the main subject. I was again using the 24-70mm lens here, just walking around and sort of chatting with Omori-san. And we, it was about this time, way into the shoot, that I mentioned the book that I was shooting for, and I was amazed to hear that Omori-san had not even been told the reason why I was there to shoot him. I'd introduced myself on the first day and told him that I'd be shooting him for the next 2 days, but was amazed to hear that the person from the local government had not even told him the reason why I was going to be there doing the photography. Maybe they'd not been told, but we walked about, basically talking about a lot of stuff. It was pretty amazing to me that he'd not even been told about this. It kind of reflects what I was saying, on the previous day when all of those visitors came. I did kind of feel sorry for him. The people of the town are definitely sort of. I think they're overprotecting him. He's a bit of a living legend, and so I think they're being overprotective. And at the end of the day, he's a human being, and I think it's only right to tell people what you're doing. And I felt kind of bad that I'd not even mentioned it earlier, but you know, it had all been, the actual arrangements had all been made by someone else. And so I was just basically amazed. Anyway, you know, as we talked, you know, he said lots of things. He told me that sometimes as he's working, he hears the undergrowth moving and twigs breaking and things. And then he looks and there's a black bear lounging around or, you know, walking around near him. And you know, these things can sometimes kill humans, of course. And you hear of a few attacks, some fatal, a number of times each year here in Japan. But he says that he just continues his work, and the bears seem to know that they both have work to be doing here in the woods, and they go about their business as usual. Let's take a look at image number 1884 as we talk about another thing that made me laugh. He actually ate some of the sap that comes out of the trees by getting some on his white gloves, like cotton or wool gloves, and then licking it. But you know, the reason that I found this so surprising is because the urushi, this sap, causes really irritating rashes if you actually get it on you. But some people, even just by going near it, I think they were saying like 1 in 10 people, even just going near this this type of activity, you know, where they're cutting the trees or scratching the trees, basically 1 in 10 people actually get a really bad rash. And if you touch it almost without fail, you know pretty much everybody will end up with a horrible red rash, including Omori-san, who's made his livelihood from working with this liquid. But he had a lick, and then he was telling me that it's sweet as honey, and you know, he actually went on to say that it prevents cancer. And I'm sure this is more of an old wives' tale than fact. But he said that it kills cancer cells, and he told me that with confidence. So you know, I wasn't going to doubt him. In image number 1885, we can see that I was really pushing the boat out with the foreground bokeh here. Again, shooting with the 70-200mm f2.8 lens at full stretch. I was quite away from him at this point, and I put a large tree with some white daisies, or daisy-like flowers, between us. And it paid off, as this is one of the final selection, quite possibly going to be used in the book. Again, lots of blown-out highlights in the background there, and you know, it's a very strong contrasty shot. There's a lot of strong contrast, like a shadow across his face there. But it tells a story of the wonderful gentleman doing what he does in these beautiful surroundings. Finally, image number 1886. In this image, we can see a stream of pearl-white sap dripping down from the spatula into the bucket. I had captured a number of these shots close up, as per the requirements. At some point, I'll be able to show you the final images in my tear sheets from the book, but I won't upload these to my gallery, as they aren't that interesting to the general public. I like this shot again, though, you know, as it basically shows the sap dripping and also the concentration on his face as he goes about his work. He really is like a very wonderful character. It was shortly after I shot this when he praised me for being the best photographer that had ever shot him. His apprentice was laughing, saying that he'd never heard Omori-san praise anyone like that before. So I did felt truly honored, although I know that it's probably just, I'm sure he says this to more people, but I did feel honored when he said that, you know, although someone comes to photograph him maybe up to 3 times a year, he said that, you know, I'd been easy to work with and never got in his way. And, he also said it had been nice to chat for the whole time. You know, we really did talk a lot about a lot of stuff. And, you know, after all, I was shooting him for like a total of 8 hours, maybe more. And I'm amazed that I really didn't really get on his nerves. We actually then, after that, it was lunchtime. I think it was shortly after midday. I can't remember the exact time. But we went down the mountain, and then they got their lunch boxes from the truck. I got mine that I'd been given. I got from the lodgings the morning that I left, and they were actually quite warm because it was a very hot day, and they'd been inside the cars. And you know, the three of us sat down on a blue plastic sheet, and then you know they basically carry that around in the truck for this purpose. We put that down in the shadow of a small wooden shack, and basically just, you know, had the perfect sort of picnic lunch with two perfect gentlemen. And then, you know, they were going to go back to work and finish the 30 or so trees that they still had to scratch or cut. But they were going to sleep for a few hours in the hottest part of the day, then finish up before heading home later. I'd got my shots and much more, and although I would have loved to have sort of just rolled over and had a sleep on the blue sheets as well for a few hours, I excused myself and went back to the lodgings to check the photos from this second day. The location was a 7-hour drive from Tokyo, even with a clear run, so I was set to stay in the lodgings for one more night before returning home the following day. Relieved that I got the you know, all of the shots done, and you know, a lot of good other shots that I knew that the client was going to be happy to see. The beer on this last evening was especially good, and a few days later, having shown the images to the client and hearing that they were not just my client but my client's client were very, very happy with the results, so I could finally then be relieved that I'd done a good job. So I hope you enjoyed accompanying me on my assignment shoot. I totally enjoyed it myself, and I can't wait to see the pictures in the book that will go to press in a few months' time. Unfortunately, the book is a promotion book for a certain product and will probably never go into general sale, you know, it'll never go on sale to the general public. I will share the tear sheets from my copies, as I said earlier, but that will probably be all that I'll ever be able to share. Still, it was great to do. The reason this week's podcast is late, I should apologise for that as well. It's I'm recording this on the Saturday afternoon when I usually record on a Monday. It's actually late because last Sunday, when I usually start the preparation, I spent some time putting together a last-minute plan and the invoice and things for another shoot for the same client, which took place on Thursday the 28th of August, so 2 days ago. You know, I've really sort of been caught up in all of that for most of my free time this week. I'll perhaps discuss the details of that shoot sometime too, but for now, let's call it a day here. I'll probably follow up with some shots that I made in the Jorborji area, which I've also uploaded to my website. But you know, I'll probably follow up in a podcast on that next week. But if not, I'll you know, there'll be something else, hopefully, that you'll find interesting that we'll talk about. One last thing, you know, today is actually the day that I recorded the very first Martin Bailey Photography podcast 3 years ago, and it was released on September 1st. So tomorrow, exactly three years ago. So. By tomorrow we'll be 3 years old, so I'm going to go ahead and congratulate me, and also thank everybody for listening, because you know, if it wasn't for you guys listening, there'd be no point in doing any of this. So a big thank you to all of you who tune in each week and you know, get involved in the community at the forum and in the MBP galleries. So you know, a big thanks to everybody, and we'll call it a day for today. And I'll hopefully be back earlier next week with another episode of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. So you have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.
PhotoCastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotoCastNetwork.com.